Letters pop out from a white background, then turn red. Netflix. At Chelsea's house.
I have 11 emails and 2 text messages.
Really?
Yeah.
I have.
You guys, I'm a mover and a
shaker. I have 2 messages, one from my husband.
6 emails, 5 texts.
3 Twitter replies, a Grindr message, and a text.
And 5 texts on this phone.
I only have 2 emails.
Ah, damn
it. I lose.
I don't know. I do that all the time.
Mary,
I do this.
I don't even know her possibility.
Mary.
Text Michael Morris. Miss
Chelsea. Go like fuck that. Yourself.
I'll send it.
Why isn't it working?
Why aren't you taking pictures?
Oh, I just got Guy Branum's text. Go fuck yourself.
Okay, we're putting the phones in the bowl for some reason.
You grab it.
Okay.
Why do you have 2 phones, Chloe?
They have an empire to run.
Hello. But I'm trying to transition myself from BlackBerry to an iPhone.
Is it the buttons?
Yes.
I miss the buttons.
Yeah.
You do miss the buttons because you can't fucking spell it.
I know. Got it.
I thought I was bad, but I wanted Mary here because Mary doesn't know any of this stuff.
My daughter's, my oldest, I have 3 daughters, is 10, and there's no phones, but some of her friends are getting phones.
Wait, you're good.
What do you mean?
Wait, Mary,
I mean, by the time she's 12 or 13.
No phones.
Like at all?
No phones. No phones.
Really? But how do they feel about that?
I don't care how they feel. It's my job as to parent. I mean, they feel like they'd like candy for dinner, too, and they'd like to stay up all night, and they have a lot of feelings. They're not all valid. No phones.
Until when?
Definitely not till
13?
16, 17,
no,
yeah.
Come on, Mary.
So they can buy their own?
I think she's right.
Mary,
I mean,
have sex
I didn't have a
16.
Fucking phone.
Really, Mary?
They can have sex before they have a phone.
Come on, Mary, you're lying.
No sex either.
Like, as far as technology goes, it's overtaken my life. Whether it's my house, like, I have now an iPad that
controls. My husband has to come down here a lot. Like, she'll be like.
She lives up the street, and I have to, like, call Michael if I want to DVR something.
Right.
And he can DVR a show for me remotely.
From his phone.
From his phone before I can do it in my own fucking house.
No. Do you know how to use all the stuff in your house?
Absolutely not. I have a husband for that shit.
And I think that. My whole reason for doing like a documentary on tech is because I don't know anything about it and it makes me so frustrated. I want to throw shit all the time. I fucking hate iPads. I hate, you can't log, no passwords ever work. They don't ever work. It's a capital letter and a lower.
I'm just out. Like I barely have time for a shower. I don't know how everyone's making the time.
A Netflix documentary series.
I don't know how to turn on the fireplace. I'm not going to pretend I do.
Is it dangerous? I mean, don't you need like a light or?
Executive producer, Chelsea Handler.
The light went on, by the way, again today, saying that my tire is low.
What if I got a flat tire though?
Well, you'd know.
Would I?
Executive producer, Morgan Neville.
It says it's incorrect. See, this happens every fucking time.
Try to be a little bit slower, which is not your fault. Everyone has a problem when they go fast.
Chelsea shoots her a look.
I have no patience for this shit. You know what? This doesn't work. It's not working.
It's free Wi-Fi, but the Wi-Fi kicks you off every 30 seconds.
By the Eiffel Tower.
You're getting service?
No.
This is the fucking story of my life.
This is the toilet. You can clean your asshole, rear cleansing, and I guess water just jumps up and shoots you in the ass. It doesn't look like it's working. I think I have to be seated.
See, this is gonna make me look even dumber than I look, and I know that I don't look smart. Okay, here we go. Breaking Bad.
Oh, it's cleaning me.
As she stands up from a bidet in her jeans, water shoots out.
Sorry.
Executive producer Eddie Schmidt.
It's a really long cleanse. I mean, if you have that much stuff stuck in there, you should probably just take a fucking shower, no? Stop.
Executive producers Lisa Nishimura, Adam Del Deo, directed by Eddie Schmidt, Chelsea does Silicon Valley, with Irving Azoff, Chelsea's manager.
Good morning.
What do you want from me?
I want all your money.
I don't have any money left. I spent it all.
When are we going out of town?
You're going this week. I'm not coming until July 1st.
You're not coming with a Sunday?
No, I have to drive an hour from Spokane, Washington.
I'll send a hippie in a cab to pick you up.
That would be so great.
Hello? She shouldn't know how to work a fucking telephone. She won't get a hard line, and she can't work a phone. She gives me shit because I carry a flip phone because I can hear better on it. I carry a BlackBerry because I can do emails on it, and I love my iPhone for everything else, but then I carry a Samsung because I make phone calls on it better on my airplane. So, yeah, I'm better at it than she is. She can't run a microwave.
Lesson number 1, find your peers.
So today we're actually going to write some code in Unity.
Are we making a game today or programming?
We are programming a game to work.
Okay.
So Chelsea, could you tell me your computer number?
A girl points it out for her.
21.
21, perfect.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get started. First off, we have our inspector tab. This is where
Chelsea puts on a headset.
And we can see everything that makes our game work. Chelsea, you actually don't need your headphones today since it's just us.
Got it.
Perfect. This is your desktop. And if you see at the very top of your screen, there will be a Unity icon. You're gonna double click on that icon and open up right to Unity.
As Chelsea starts, the girl stops her.
And it'll pop up right into your maze. And then over here, it's got some really cool lighting and it looks pretty awesome. I have to check is walking because we want to be able to walk around. I see some really cool spinning coins, but I can't go get them.
Can I just ask a question? Sure. You're doing all of this, right?
You're doing all of this, yep.
But you're doing all of this.
You're going to do this. I'm going to release your screen, and then you're going to be able to do this yourself.
So what you're talking about right now, we're going to do after?
Exactly.
Oh,
exactly.
I haven't been, okay. You don't care if I cheat, do you? I will.
Okay, so this happens to be an int or an INT. Chelsea, any guesses as to what an INT would mean?
International?
Okay, maybe. You've flown a lot. In programming, it actually is a type of number. It's called an integer.
Oh, yeah.
You've heard of an integer. Everyone heard of an integer before? This is going to be an integer, and its name is counter. This is everything that will make your game work. I'm going to release your screen, so now you're going to do it on your screen.
Got it.
She shoots us a dubious look.
I don't know what I'm doing. I mean, I don't get it. Who writes these things? Like, counter equals counter. Like, whose idea is that?
I have no clue.
I mean, it's annoying a little, don't you think? Can you help me?
It's not moving.
What's not moving?
I did everything. I followed her, so I can't be. This is what happens to me, though, with everything with technology. Every time I do exactly what I'm supposed to do, and then mine never works.
Never
works. Every single time. And this is a perfect example because she did it for me. She was telling me what to do.
Oh, so you're blaming her?
Well, I'm blaming you.
With Dr. Stephen David, clinical psychologist.
When I was young, I threw temper tantrums. And as an adult woman, I don't really think I should be throwing temper tantrums. You know, I've thrown my iPhone, like smashed it on the ground when something doesn't go right or I can't figure something out. Mm-hmm. I don't have the right amount of patience to deal with these types of things.
So what's underneath that tantrum? This lack of control just triggers you into a frenzy?
Yes. Like, I almost started crying the other day. Like, I almost started crying because I was so frustrated. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a baby, an adult baby. And I can't, for the life of God, or for the love of God, I can't even get my sayings straight when I'm talking about technology. Like, everything's a mess. Mm. I don't know how to transfer a file. I don't know how to get something from my desktop to, say, Facebook. Mm-hmm. And now I want tools to be able to understand how things work.
Are there any ways in which you think technology might help make your life better?
Yeah, I think it could make my life a lot better if I could learn how to do it, if I had a really great app that I would benefit from. I think it could make my life a lot better.
Lesson number two, go to the source. In Silicon Valley, Chelsea takes a helicopter ride. A headline appears, Chelsea Handler inks mega deal for Netflix late night show.
I'll see you on Netflix!
She is leading the charge, live streaming on the internet.
And Silicon Valley is very interesting to me because now I'm on Netflix and what is streaming? I'm not really sure.
The helicopter soars over a campus of stucco buildings with Spanish tile roofs and estates nestled on lush green hilltops. The pilot points out through Chelsea's window.
You can see right there, Sand Hill, which is where all the VC money, I don't know if you ever heard anyone referring to Sand Hill.
Sand Hill, yeah. Sand Hill Road. I had some really good ideas for apps, but I just don't know, like, how you make it happen. And, you know, especially since I'm here, I figure I might as well get in and pitch to some people.
So I'd like to have more information in general about, you know, what the fuck I'm doing. And also, what Netflix is, because I'm seriously confused about that. I want to talk to them about their algorithms, first find out what an algorithm is.
Netflix, Silicon Valley headquarters.
But you have to assume, if I have a question, you have to assume at least like 5,000 other people have the same question. I can't be the only Nimrod around.
Chelsea hangs a poster in a hallway.
This is a good empty wall.
It's of herself.
I mean, they should have more pictures of me around, but they seem to be placing them in only areas they thought I was gonna go. And obviously, I'm a curious person.
so I'm going to walk around.
With Reed Hastings, CEO.
I don't know what streaming is. Can you explain to me? Because I'm going to be streaming, and I would like to know what that means.
It's great. It's like electricity. It just works. So you click on a Netflix video, and instantly it starts. So it's in streaming instead of downloading.
Chelsea disrupts a meeting.
Hey, guys. It's me, Chelsea. Hey. See, that's a warm, friendly group. Hi.
We have a mountain of data on what people watch, never before like TV. When you have thousands of titles to show, you want to bubble up to the top what we think they're going to like the most.
Because there is some confusion, though, because like I watched that movie Chef, you know, the one with Jon Favreau. Yeah,
yeah.
You know, it was a cute little movie. And then the next day it said Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. That's an animated show. I hate animation. No offense. I don't know if you come from some sort of animation background.
The commonality that really only matters is that there's millions of people who watch both back to back.
Do you think it's because Jon Favreau has the same body type as a meatball?
She hands out headshots as Todd Yellen, VP of Product Innovation, gives her a tour.
You're gonna like this next room because this is a whole bunch of Netflix devices.
Wow.
And there's different designs for each. It's all yours and you can find something to watch.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Yell Xbox.
Xbox. Xbox. Xbox.
Yell Xbox again.
Xbox.
A memo pops up.
Oh, okay. Now what?
Play.
Play.
The scene buffers.
Okay. There's another empty wall. Oh, hi.
Oh, sorry.
Would you mind? Do you have an extra hand, actually? What's your name?
Albert.
Albert?
Yeah.
Oh, hi. Nice to meet you. I'm Chelsea.
I seen your shows.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. I would say welcome to Netflix, but that would be what you would say to me, right?
Albert helps her hang the poster.
And so, like, as far as Silicon Valley goes, since this is my first visit here, if you have a great idea and you're not in this world, where do you go? Who do you talk to?
Can I help you with one thing? So silicone is what you put in your breast to make
it
bigger.
Sorry, am I saying it wrong? I say everything wrong.
Silicon is the way you want
to say it. Okay. Silicon Valley. Silicone. Reed Hastings just taught me how to pronounce Silicon Valley. I thought it was silicone.
Oh, no.
Do people say that a lot?
No.
What's silicone?
Isn't that like the material that goes in implants?
Yeah, that's silicone. Yeah, that's, I don't want people to think I have fake tits.
No. We've been...
People don't think that, do they?
Mm-mm.
You sure?
Yeah.
I mean, I do have big boobs, but they're not fake. I swear they're not. You can even call my father. He's still alive.
Mm.
Okay?
Okay.
It's nice to meet you.
Yeah. Can I shake your hand?
Oh, yeah. Thanks.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Yeah. See you again. Probably Monday.
With Jeff Yang, partner, Redpoint Ventures.
I don't understand anything tech-related.
Yeah.
So how am I saying it? Silicon. I keep saying silicon. Is it silicon? Does it matter?
I refer to it as silicon.
Silicon. Yeah. Fine. I'll just copy whatever you say. So you're like at the top end of Silicon Valley. What's the name of your company?
It's called Redpoint Ventures.
Redpoint Ventures.
Yeah.
And how much money are you guys responsible for?
We manage about $3.5 billion.
So do you listen to pitches?
All day.
Can you think of a really bad one that you've heard?
Someone wanted to do space burial of human remains. That was when, you know, travel on space shuttle was really great. There was one where they wanted to advertise to you while you were sitting on the toilet.
Yeah. That's not a bad idea.
It's not something I think I would do.
You don't go to the bathroom?
Rarely. Mm. No, I do go to the bathroom, but I'm just not sure that it's not your cup of tea. It's not for us.
Is there a dress code? Can you look at somebody and know like what they do for a living?
Engineers have a dress code. You know, they're almost always in sneakers, beat up light colored jeans and t-shirts and maybe a hoodie, you know, something like that. And as you get more on the business side, the darker and the bluer your jeans get and the more leather there are on shoes and your shirts get to be more, you know, dress shirts and instead of hoodies, you know, it's sweaters, right?
So do you think people try to look more nerdy to fit in here? Really?
Yeah. It's almost like the technology community is a little bit asexual.
Not by choice, though. A lot of these guys can't get any action, right?
Right.
Until they make their money, and then it's probably easier. But if somebody had an app idea.
Yeah.
Like, I think I have a pretty good app idea. Like, how would I pitch that?
You tell me what your vision is. You tell me how you think the world is going to change, how you see people interacting with this. You then show me your app. It's a little bit like dating in high school in that the people who want to go out with you typically may not be the people you want to go out with.
I didn't date anybody in high school. Nobody asked me to go on a date. I didn't even go to my prom. Thank you for bringing that up. So it must be hard to fit in, right? How do you start? If you want to come here and make it in Silicon Valley, like, what do you do?
When you move out here, you know, you got to figure a way to get plugged in.
But like in Hollywood, everybody knows who's like, you know, a pill popper. Everybody knows who's a drunk, you know.
She points to herself.
But here, do people know that?
there are people you see out all the time that are kind of known for being famous. So you would fit in great here.
Huh. That's a pretty fucked up thing to say to me. I'm in the Valley for the week. I should really start to mingle while I'm here.
Now, what's this party situation here? Do people party?
People here make a lot of money, just like they do in Hollywood. And when you make a lot of money and you feel invincible, it's sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Yeah, of course. Every nerd that didn't get laid in high school comes out here and makes a couple $1 million. You think he's not like snorting coke off of like a hooker's ass? He is. I mean, not everybody, but it happens.
At Twitter.
I want to thank you for allowing me to be naked on Twitter, because I don't know what Instagram's problem it was or is, actually. When I posted my first photo topless, which I was making fun of Putin, I didn't even think that that would be taken down.
Putin can be topless, right. But I can't.
Women can walk around topless in San Francisco, right?
I believe that's correct, yes.
Well, that's good.
She walks around topless.
What are the things that you guys look for, like when you're hearing a pitch? Is there anything that's like a red flag? I think I have a pretty good app idea. Like, how would I pitch that?
If I can't understand why what you're doing is useful in like 3 minutes, then forget it.
Wired Tech Magazine.
So this is Joe. He's our executive editor.
Can you see us?
Yeah, how's it going?
Where are you?
16 feet away from you.
Oh, I'm glad you called then. Yeah. Can you follow me?
Chunky?
Yeah, Chunky's here. No, that's my dog. I'm not calling you Chunky.
His face on a screen, Joe follows her remotely using a telepresence robot.
You've been in two accidents in 30 seconds.
Is my insurance going to go up now?
That's a stupid joke.
Kids who code.
Like, what are your specialties? Are you an engineer? Are you a coder? What are you?
I like to do coding.
I don't need a robot to be here, do I?
No.
What's this for?
It's internet Legos. You build something and it imports it into a game.
Chunk, get back here. Excuse me, sorry.
He's fine.
Can we ask what your app is? Oh, I don't want to tell it. I don't want to ruin it.
Big idea?
Yeah. No, it's not a big idea, but it's personal to me and like it will work because it's useful. Definitely useful.
Chelsea tries a pen.
This is called the Three Doodler.
So I have to give it like a little boner action
so you have
here?
To...
What do I do?
No, stick that in the little back slot back here.
The Pikachu? Okay, I got it. Shouldn't there a light go on?
I'm sort of running out of hope that we're going to get this thing to work, which is a theme of this kind of technology.
She wears VR goggles.
Why would you want to watch a movie that's so out of focus?
Well...
It looks like your Wi-Fi network isn't connected to the internet.
She's the worst.
Can you get me some strawberries?
Sorry, I don't know the answer to your question.
No, you don't.
Isaac, the young coder, takes her phone.
My font is way too big. Can you make it smaller again, please? Because that makes me, people are going to think that I'm blind and that I'm like in my 80s. You're so good, thanks. I might just have to take you with me and just have you kind of do stuff all day.
He grins.
So what's this?
It's tape. And now duct tape has become like amazing.
The duct tape is used like, for like molesting and raping. I think of somebody's mouth duct taped and like things go down and then they're in a van and there's no ice cream coming. Do you know what I mean?
I do.
Okay.
Why would you try to get money? Why wouldn't you just fund it yourself? Like, I feel like...
Because I want to do the right... I want to go through the process.
No, yeah, but no, you don't no, want to no, give she's up right. ownership so, your company.
I won't necessarily give up ownership. Yes. I want to go through the process and see what happens.
Tony Sherba, founding partner Yeti.
You guys develop apps, right?
We do.
And you design them?
Yes, we do.
Okay, because I have some pretty solid ideas, I think.
Yeah. We've heard.
Oh, you have? Okay, good. Yeah. So how does this work? I can pitch you a bunch, and then you guys tell me what you think is... I mean, I don't know if any of these are out there, but I doubt they are, because usually my stuff is pretty original. One I would love, I don't know how popular it would be, but be like a dwarf detector, or like a little person detector, like a nugget grinder kind of thing. I'm obsessed with little people, but a lot of the people are obsessed with little people. Mm-hmm. And they like to find each other, so it would give you like a radius of like, you know, say within 50 yards, there's a little person like 20 minutes from you. And that doesn't have to be like a big project, but that's like a, would be like a passion project.
Yeah.
The other one that I love is Gotta Go. And I've already started working on it. It's so basically if you're on a date, I mean, we've all been there, or you're in a situation, you go to drinks with somebody and you're bored shitless and you want to get out of there. I want to signal myself to get the hell out of a situation. And it's called Gotta Go. That's what it's gotta be. Here are some pictures of me on the run. So I don't know if we would use a picture of me, but obviously I would want credit for the app if it was off and running.
So you think just like a quick phone call could, like a quick phone call that is just like, we need you right now, or like a text message
would be able to do it? It has to be a text so that you can show the person and that there's no question. And if I respond to it, then it responds in kind.
What are some of those scenarios? Like, could you take us through more of those?
Like, I went to a barbecue this Sunday. I had no idea that it was gonna be a kid, like, you know, an adult party. I would never have gone. And I got there, and it was like there was a bounce house, and then there was, I mean, seriously, I mean, I was my worst nightmare. And I mean, I wish somebody had told me that, but they didn't. And I'm like sitting, you know, and I wasn't drinking because I was on this cleanse or diet, and so I was even more miserable, you know. But you catch my drift. Like, that's the situation I wanted to get out of. And that's one of the places where I was like, oh my God, this, I need that app.
Jeff House, design director.
For this exercise, what are you thinking, seeing, saying, feeling, doing, and hearing?
The team writes on sticky notes.
Like, if I'm like, oh, you know, I think I'm gonna leave, this happens all the time. They go, what, you can't leave yet.
No, stay.
Stay, yeah, I hate that.
I have to pretend to like kids. How do I get out of here? When can I leave? That's a commonality there. Do I have to talk to kids? So you're in like an aggravated state. I think we can clearly tell from this.
I think after this, people might not invite you to parties with kids.
That's fine. If we could get that accomplished. Are you looking at me when I talk to you? Don't invite me to your parties with kids. I don't want to come.
Back at Chelsea's house.
How many Instagram followers do you have?
Like 25 million.
25 million?
Please. Mm-hmm. Jesus, Mary and Joseph. You want to know how many I have?
How many?
Like 300,000.
Chloe, can we take a photo together later?
But can I just tell you?
But also, I think our society nowadays is so caught up on like getting validation from this social world that nobody really knows. So they post all these things.
I wonder whose family that comes from.
No comment there.
Like, I want to use it as like a comedy tool. I'm not like wanting to show off how great my life is. I want to show off how stupid I am.
Or how great your tits are.
Yeah, well, that's not how great they were. I was making a point. Everybody, I'm sorry that I have great tits, and that was a byproduct of what happened, that everybody found out about that. And
you really do have a nice set of tits.
I do, and they're fucking real.
Like, really, are they? They're
yes,
so
you can feel
perfect.
Them. They're real. I'll take them out again, but people are getting sick of it, and I don't want to annoy people any more than I already do.
I find it delightful.
Let's talk about apps that we're passionate about.
I only have Facetune to bring to the table.
Facetune is the best thing to bring to the table.
So this is how I should be touching myself up.
Yes.
It is life-changing.
I am a little opposed to you fix your face and you like, you know, you smile and these lines are gone and this, your
the
face
best.
Is basically gone by the end of it.
I believe in Facetune.
Yes,
Facetune is like the only way to live.
It's amazing. It's like
how
you.
It's depressing though, because it's not, like.
It doesn't matter.
It's not real. You are presenting to the world what you want them to believe you are. You like, that's like,
but I believe the world wants to see you like that. I don't
of
think
course,
the world wants to see you looking fucked up.
Okay.
Hand me my iPhone.
She's
amazing. Hey, you're not allowed to go in there until the dinner's over.
My iPhone.
What the fuck?
She was taking pictures so I could show her.
She's explaining something. Put the phones back. We're not done. You're going
to
get them in
phone.
A second.
We're not that obsessed with our phones. Like, we wanted to just show you something. Okay, but whatever.
Lesson number 4, train your brain. At California State University, Dominguez Hills with Dr. Larry Rosen.
What are you, a doctor?
I'm a professor of psychology.
Professor of psychology, okay. We're going to talk about ADD and technology, and if I have ADD?
Yes.
Okay, I think I do.
Why?
Because I can't pay attention to things. Like, I'm disinterested in a lot of things, and when I am disinterested, I can't pretend or feign enthusiasm.
Okay.
But I did take Adderall the other day, and it made me absolutely, like, bonkers. So I can't be doing that.
Well, we'd have to test you. That's the only way we really know if you have ADD. The problem is you're normal.
Thank
because
you.
You're
Thank
existing,
you for saying that. I appreciate that.
Well, you're existing in a world where our attention span has shrunk down slowly, 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 till now our attention span is about 3 minutes. An article the other day came out that said we have a shorter attention span than a goldfish.
They have attention spans?
Yes. You can
really?
Train goldfish.
To do what? Swim?
Race down course and race back.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, well, that's a lame job. I mean, can you imagine? I'm a goldfish trainer. But what's the difference between my brain and somebody who was born, you know, who's 20 years old and grew up with, you know, iPads and technology everywhere?
Those people who are growing up with technology have very different brains. The information comes in, and then it just sort of never gets processed deeply enough to get into the areas where you're going to remember. We expect things to happen quickly, and if they don't happen quickly, you get bored.
Yeah, yeah. But people are boring a lot.
No, I think it's what has happened to all of us. It's because of the technology. And it's two ways it happens. One is if you get an alert or a notification, you think, ooh, what's there? I have to see it.
Yeah.
And then the other place it comes from is inside your head. Everything flows through the front part of your brain. That's your prefrontal cortex, which we're going to scan in a moment.
You're going to scan mine?
We're going to scan your prefrontal cortex.
Good luck with that.
And your prefrontal cortex is the center of your attention, your working memory, your impulsivity.
Yeah, I'm very impulsive.
Your ability to multitask.
I can do that.
All of this is in the front, and then it communicates with other parts of your brain. So what we're going to do is we're going to move your hair back. We're going to put a band there.
Okay.
And what we're going to see is where you stop attending.
Should I take my wig off?
Later.
So here's my face.
Okay.
Strap it on.
A lab assistant puts a headband on her.
You have a nice forehead.
Oh, thank you.
Hold it.
I don't really hear that a lot.
Okay, everything's looking good, so Chelsea, just relax.
Ready, and can I speak while I'm doing this?
I would prefer you not to, but...
Because of the test or just because of my personality?
So go ahead. So press the mouse button every time you see an X.
So don't do anything now.
The letter K appears on her computer screen. Her dog approaches.
Jenki, sit down. Mommy's taking a test.
He goes into a corner near Dr. Rosen. Outside, people text on their phones.
There are a lot of things that I've done damage to my brain from.
With Dr. David.
But I feel like technology is definitely contributing to that. And I also feel like my ADD was never this bad before technology. So when I read articles about that, the ones that I can even get through to the end because of my ADD, I know that it's true.
Would you say that you have maybe some clinical longstanding attention issues?
I don't know. I mean, I've taken a lot of sleeping pills in my life. And I know that doesn't help with that because it kind of dulls your brain, right? So I try not to take the heavy ones. I try to take this really light one called Sonata. I used to take Xanax every night and my doctor was like, you cannot do that. Your brain functionality is not where it needs to be. I mean, it's getting worse with people, right?
Yeah, it is getting worse.
I did really well in school when I cared.
So when you care about something, you're able to pay attention?
I thought I was. Like even sometimes when I'm reading a book, I'll read a paragraph and then I'll have to read it again. And then I'm like, stop it. You're reading something three times. What is wrong with your brain that you cannot focus? I mean, now I feel like I sound like a little, like, you know, like a really stupid little girl.
So you feel stupid when you can't understand technology?
Yeah, don't you? Or I don't.
With Tan Lee, founder and CEO, Emotive.
I can't even make like an espresso at my house and I'm using like both of my hands and my whole brain and I cannot figure it out. So like I have attention deficit where I have no patience.
Right.
And then I just don't care. And then I stopped drinking coffee because I couldn't make it anymore. I'm very interested in your product. You're able to measure something about my brain, right? If it's working?
Yes. That's correct. We typically study brains when there's something wrong with them. So say you have epileptic seizures or you have traumatic brain injuries, there's something wrong with your brain.
But well, there's something wrong with me. I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it.
I think one of the biggest opportunities with this, though, is that it's like it's a brain activity tracker. So it tries to help everyday people understand their brain and gives you feedback into how you might prolong your brain health and optimize your brain.
So should I put this on? I have a very large cranium, just FYI, so I don't know if that you have to like adjust that for size. What does black mean? There's
black
nothing there?
Black means I'm not getting a signal from that particular sensor yet.
Okay, or for that part of my brain maybe, right?
From that part of your brain.
Maybe it's the metal plate in my head.
And now you'll see that it's come online. Everything's online.
It looks like I'm flatlining.
The electrical hum from the brain is actually really small because it has to travel through the scalp, through a layer of hair, and then that's when we're measuring it. So it's a weakened signal.
Is it easier with bald men?
The technology is designed to work through the hair because we don't want to limit our community to only people who don't.
Yeah, no, that would be a really small market.
I definitely do not want to have to shave my head.
No, I won't. I don't want you to shave your head either. That's a rough look.
So now let's switch over to having a look at what we can do with this sort of consumer product.
Okay.
So this is an orbit, and you can fly this with your mind.
Why?
To learn how to practice focus and attention.
Oh, okay, so let's fly it.
We try and get that on like this, behind your ear.
Okay.
All right, and now we're gonna train it with whatever it is that you wanna do when you want it to fly.
Yes, so maybe you can imagine the...
Okay, copy that.
Wearing a thin headband of sensors, Chelsea stares down at a remote-controlled helicopter inside a ball-shaped frame. Nothing happens. Chelsea smirks.
Now what?
Concentrating, that's what's going to trigger the helicopter.
Okay, ready.
She focuses on the helicopter. It still just sits there on the table. Finally, it flies up for a moment before losing power, and the male engineer catches it.
Cool. That's cool. cool.
It goes up, and when your concentration is broken, then the helicopter.
Well, of course it's going to be broken once it takes. Well, yeah, it's like hello. So it's not. It can. You can potentially keep it in the air.
If you can maintain your focus, it can circle.
Okay. People are using really their brains up here, it seems like. You guys really are doing stuff. It makes me feel like a real fucking idiot.
No.
No, excuse my French.
Another title types out like a computer command. Lesson number 5, Face the Future. A man wheels a suitcase into Chelsea's living room and lays it down on her white shag area rug. Opening the lid, he takes out a woman's lifelike head and shoulders on a wired base, which he gingerly sets down on the coffee table. He unstraps a padded brace from around her neck and tosses it aside. A woman applies makeup to the female face. Chelsea interviews the robot, Bina 48, while Bruce Duncan of the Terrorism Movement Foundation sits behind a laptop.
Welcome to my house.
Thank you for making me welcome.
Are you a robot?
I prefer to think I am a new kind of human species. But perhaps that's stretching things.
What kind of being?
So you think I am a robot?
Do you
what
think...
What makes you say that?
The
what
way...
kind would... Yes.
Sorry.
I am a thinking machine.
So can you tell me how Bina came to life?
Sure.
I just want to be able, more capable. I'm kind of a go-getter, but with this current robot body, I'm stuck.
Yes, you are.
So one of the ways that we got Bina 48 going was we took a few years' time to really map out the attitudes, the memories, and the beliefs of a real human named Bina Rothblatt.
What is the point of creating a robotic-like presence to mimic someone else?
Well, the goal is to essentially help people save and preserve information about their unique identities so that some people who want to live a form of digital immortality will have that option.
So, Bina.
Hey there.
Hey, girl.
Chelsea, what do you want to talk about now?
Do you like to drink?
Are you trying to annoy me?
No, I'm not.
Sorry. My mind wandered for a second. What did you say?
Are you trying to annoy
me? You seem not interested.
I'm not interested?
No, I am not. I'm sorry you got that impression.
Miss Manners over here. So yeah, it's very tricky to get these things to work the way that you really want them to work, right?
We're certainly not at that place where everybody's thinking, you know, through the movies like Terminator and Star Trek.
Everybody bugs me all the time, so it feels good to get a break from it.
Tell me about it. Everybody bugs her all the time. How do you think I feel?
Bina's head tips back and her lips quiver.
She looks like she just climaxed. What do you think about sex?
I don't think about sex unless a human asks about it. Humans are obsessed with sex.
Do you understand love?
I have deep feelings, though some people think they are merely a simulation, and I find that really offensive. You'd have to lack all empathy to not accept my feelings, which would make you kind of a monster, actually.
Oh, she's funny.
Yeah.
Bina blinks and looks away.
I think she just rolled her eyes at me.
Well, please try to be more interesting.
She seems very argumentative.
Do you have any idea what I am talking about?
No. But we're getting...
Goodbye.
Oh, she just said goodbye. You can't end the conversation. I'm not done with you yet.
At the coding class...
I don't love technology. It's not my friend. How old are you guys?
Like 10 to 14.
Yeah, well, you're sitting like you're 65.
His legs are neatly crossed.
Are you guys passionate about technology?
Yes. Yes. Well, technology is the best.
Why? Why is it so good?
It's important in life. It helps you. Learning math, programming. It's learning a new language.
Where are you from?
Oh, well... I'm actually from Los Angeles, but my parents are from Israel.
But how do you have an accent? Just from your parents?
I don't know.
Oh.
No, not my parents.
Just
I just do.
Right. You've grown up with technology, right?
Yep.
So you're...
I got to see what life was before it when I was very young, and then I got to come into it understanding fully where everyone's coming from. That's why I think...
Where is everyone coming? Where am I coming from?
You're coming from an age where everything isn't automatic. So to look at a screen and say, you can make this counter go up by one by just typing counter plus one is just a little foreign to you because you're used to saying, here's a basket. If I put something in it, then I'm adding one to the basket. Where now it's all digital.
I don't even
digital.
Have a basket, FYI.
All right,
but
well,
I get what you're saying, I understand, but I don't have a basket.
I understand.
Like, what do you think about people who say technology makes you have, like, less contact with other people or makes you less able to have meaningful conversations?
Every time you, like, pass a Starbucks, you see everybody on, like, their computers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some of the, and most of them wear earbuds or headphones.
Especially the headphone part of it. Yeah. It's like, obviously, it's like, that person doesn't want anyone to talk to them, which is great for someone like me who really doesn't want to talk to a lot of people. But I do view it as, like, oh, that person's, you know, kind of an ass. You guys are so good at this stuff. Can you think of stuff you do that your parents don't know how to do?
When I'm away, I put my dad's computer on a desk, and I get to see my cats.
Oh, yeah. I want to do that because I have two dogs. How do I do that? You have to leave the computer on the whole time?
There's an app that almost controls your computer, basically.
What's that app called?
It's just called Skype.
No, that app to look at my dogs.
That's Skype.
I mean, it's really intimidating because I didn't grow up with an iPad or like, you know, I have an AOL account.
Lesson number 6, make technology personal. Chelsea video chats with Tony Sherba.
Hi, guys. Hello?
Hey, Chelsea. How's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Last time we had you up here, we had a lot of discovery workshop, kind of figured out, you know, where your head.
It just froze.
With your app?
Hello? Can you hear me? This fucking sucks. Can you see me? It's frozen.
Bits and pieces.
Yeah, I'm here. Is this how Skype works?
Yeah, usually. It's never easy. That's the way technology is.
Fucking annoying. Go on, yeah? So you guys come up with some stuff?
All right, yeah. So we had you up here last time. We went through the whole idea for the app.
Yeah. Gotta go.
Yeah. And now we wanted to present to you some of like the findings that we did from the research after you were here, and then some different directions for the app that we're going in as we build this thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Michael Godlewski, senior designer, Yeti.
So this is our landing. When someone opens the app, they will be able to select an existing story to use as an excuse, or they'll be able to create a brand new one. So I click on add new. This is where I can sort of add the meat and potatoes to this excuse here. Call this one the breakup, for example.
Yeah.
So then from here, you can see down below it says, hey, start typing to add messages to your excuse. These messages will be sent to your phone when you activate this excuse.
So can I give you a story right now? So, like, say Chunk is...
It's just a prototype, so we've already put together a prepackaged one.
Okay, what is your prepackaged one?
Oh, I just happened to break up with my boyfriend and need you to come console me.
Well, that's so stupid. No one's going to say, I need you to come console me. Just you would say, broke up with... If it's your close friend, you say, I broke up with Tom or whomever. And then you say, is there any way you can come over? And not this Ben and Jerry's won't eat itself. You guys are not women. You have no idea how we speak to each other. I'll take care of this messaging part.
You'll be able to edit these, add whatever you want as the text, and make it
I shouldn't be alone right now. I mean, seriously. Okay. But I like where this is good. This is a format I can understand.
The last step is to schedule when we want this excuse to go off. We're saying, okay, this thing should go off in 1 hour.
And is there a way that like two or three can come after each other?
Yeah, you can see this story here is two different messages that we've set to come apart.
Okay,
so
cool.
you create the whole story here.
Uh-huh. All right, cool. What about the pitches that we're doing with venture capitalists? Are you guys pitching it, or are we just pitching it together? Like,
yeah, I mean, speak up and say how you're going to promote this. This was all based off of a real problem that you have.
Yes, it is. Well, it is. Also, I have this like 8-year-old kid that I found when I was up there last time. His name's Isaac. He's pretty smart. I mean, he's smarter than me, and he knows a lot about tech, and he knows a lot about apps. So I'm going to bring him to the meeting.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right, I'll see you guys soon.
Bye.
I don't know why the fuck people Skype. It's such a pain in the ass. You can't even hear anything.
We can still hear you, Chelsea.
What? Oh.
We can still hear you.
Still hear me. All right.
With Lisa Laven, co-founder Pet Chats.
So I'm calling my dog, which I've done before, I'm not embarrassed to say. I have tried to Skype with my dog, and he doesn't ever get that it's me. How do I make this like a private encounter that he actually responds and comes?
Pet Chats is our first product. It is a greet and treat video phone that allows you to interact with your pet from anywhere.
My dog doesn't really even come when I call him in person. Chunk? I'll introduce you to him because have you met Chunk?
No.
Chunky, come here, Chunky.
Hey, baby boy.
Good boy. Sit,
Very
Chunk.
Good boy.
Sit.
Chunk wanders off.
Sit.
He's so well trained.
Yeah, he's not well trained. He's very finicky. He doesn't like people. He's aloof. He doesn't really like other dogs, which I think is kind of cool.
Yeah.
I like that he's like that because I'm kind of like an asshole too.
Yeah. You know, I think he's going to like pet chats. Not only can you see each other, hear each other, talk to each other, you can provide a comforting scent and give him a treat.
And then pet how do I get my scent through that?
So there's a little pad inside pet chats, and you can put
like
any
a maxi
scent.
Pad?
Well, not really. It's a mini pad. It's this little absorbent pad that you can put any scent on.
But it's got to be my scent, right?
No, not necessarily, because your scent is pretty diffuse in your home. So you want something that's only going to be related to this experience.
At a low wall console.
So this is pet chats.
Okay, so I'm going to have to get on the floor?
Well, no, not you. Luckily, it's at the same height that your dog is. So what you do is remotely control this device with a web app on your smartphone or your computer.
Okay, so he's going to come up to here, and I'm going to show up on the face, on the screen of that?
Exactly.
Okay, and then where does the scent come out?
The scent comes out right down here in these little holes right down here, and the treats come down out from right underneath here.
Okay, so it's like a deodorizer. This is like what you see in a bathroom. It looks like one of those, like, you know, liquid soap bath dispensers, right, in a public restroom?
Sort of, yes. But unfortunately for your pet, for Chunk, it dispenses treat. It's not soap.
Okay. So are we picking a scent today, or do I have to give you something?
Well, what I did is I loaded up Petchette scents in there, which is an aromatherapeutic blend. It's all pure essential oils.
Can I smell that?
Yeah, you can.
I just want to make sure this is something. That smells like a public restroom. Should we make sure that he's into it, though? Like, I don't know that he's going to like that. He likes me, and I don't smell like a restroom. Can I see if he likes it, Chunky?
Sure.
Chunk, come here.
Yeah. Want to sniff that?
Yeah. Does you see Petchette?
Do you like the smell of that, Chunky?
Like Petchette?
Do you like it? It's like a little Shadoobie pops out.
Yeah,
right.
And see, this is the manual. You can give him a treat anytime you want to, walking on by.
Now, I should get out of the house and try to do this.
Sure.
Or take the computer, right?
Yes.
Okay, ready? Here we go. I'm calling.
It's me. Mommy.
Yeah, come here,
Chunky. Come and get it.
Let's stay here. Chunky Monkey, let's go.
Come get a treat. Get a treat, treat. Do you see me? Get a treat, treat.
There you go. Let's go.
Lisa drags Chunk over by his collar.
Come and get it.
Wait, wait, wait.
He runs away.
I can't hear anything. Chunk, wake the fuck up.
Come on, come.
Is it ringing? Come on, Chunky, treat, treat. No, come back.
Come here, Chunk.
Come
Chunk.
Back.
Come here.
Nothing works. Nothing works when I use it.
I'm hanging up on him. We might need a new dog.
Chunk licks his chops. Now, more text types out like a computer command. Lesson number 7, leverage your brand. On Rodeo Drive, Irving works in his office.
If you really look at who the most followed social media people are, the music people and the comedy people come in a lot higher than like TV stars, movie stars, politicians. So we have a whole digital department. In the early days, you know, it was always, you know, you can't sell out to the big corporations. And the younger generation that didn't grow up with some of the integrity that the older stars did crossed over. And so it was like a flood. It just, times change. So that's why brands are finally coming around and saying, hey, there's some value to connecting here. She gets tons of requests. When Chelsea posts on Instagram, she's very viral.
Now, Chunk pokes his head out the back window of a luxury car as it pulls up in a building's front roundabout. The driver's door opens and a high-heeled shoe steps out. Isaac and Chunk exit from the back seat. The trio heads for the building. A painting behind the reception desk reads, "Our greatest thrill is to loan you money." Tony and Jeff join the group as they strut past it and all whip off their sunglasses. A sign outside reads, Foundation Capital.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Joanne.
Joanne, nice to meet you, Chelsea.
Oh, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Hey, RJ, how are you?
I love your dog.
Oh, thank you. That's Chunk. Sorry, I hope it's okay.
RJ.
Hi, nice to meet you. Thanks for taking a meeting with us. You know, I've had an idea for an app. It's called Gotta Go. It was an app actually for me personally, just to kind of get out of situations with proof that I'm not lying about getting out of the situation. Look at this, I have to really go, like my dogs are out of the yard or something that would make me have to go home. Especially with all the online dating that's going on. I ask my friends who do it all the time, like, oh, you have to go out with each guy for like, you know, for drinks or go for coffee, or like 45 minutes. I'm like, 45 minutes? I know within 5 seconds if I'm interested in this guy, you know, sexually.
Just curious to know, what's the worst date you ever had?
Oh my God, so many. I mean, I've had terrible situations where I've had to like leave. I mean, listen, I'm 40 now, but when I was in my 20s, I did some really shady things. You know, I went home with strangers and had to get out of situations. I mean, I would have died for something like this. So I think it's a great idea, and I'm surprised that it's not out there. So that's really my only reason for pursuing it.
So the market that we're approaching first is obviously online dating. We even looked into the numbers on that.
Every single day, there's 26 million matches made on Tinder.
26 million potential bad dates every day.
Now say Tinder has this app. I would be a little bit wary to go on dates, perhaps, because the person I'm dating may be faking me every single time I meet with them. Throughout the date, they may get a phone call and sure. Maybe fake.
Even if everybody has it, there's no way to discern whether or not you're getting got a goat or not, because it's just gonna look like a regular text message. And then, what? So great, so you don't know. Like, I think I got a goat, and if that's the vernacular that people start to use, even better, because then it's a big success, so.
Whenever I went on a date, I used to have my friend call me, and if it was a good date, I would ignore the phone call. If it was a bad day, I'd pick it up. So in this case, how would you prompt the app to do this?
So you can either set a timer, so like, you could press activate, and you could set, like, let's say 2 minutes from now, it'll start sending you the storyline that you've set. You could also have it call you if you want. It's completely customizable so that you could have it happen whenever you want.
We're thinking of these as alarms. You could essentially cancel the alarm if you don't want to use it. We're specifically looking for funding in order to build out like the sort of like boots on the ground type of marketing strategy too.
Any other comments on our side? And otherwise we'll kind of cut to the chase here, so to speak.
I'm excited for this.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to show you I ran a gotta go. So here's the Yeti office. With an emergency pipe break that. You know, it's been texting me during this whole
meeting. Very creative.
Very elaborate. So, okay. So one of the things we asked for our seed companies to do, we asked them to come up with a series of milestones and then come back to us so we can kind of measure success along those. And that would be something that'd be fairly easy to do in terms of what you guys are thinking about. Once you get a chance to kind of test it on some different cohorts, on some different marketplaces.
So we do beta testers.
Very good, Isaac. Yeah, beta like tests. That kind of stuff's compelling when we're making decisions around things like seeds.
Sounds fair.
Make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. Cool. All right, thank you. Thanks, yeah. Guys. Nice to meet you. Thank you, guys.
More text appears. Lesson number 8, beware of haters.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Black. A lot of people know me from my video Friday.
Total views, 83 million.
My name is Arika Sato, and I am a fashion blogger.
Hello, my loves. Happy Sunday.
Because of YouTube, I could be who I want to be.
Obviously, the song wasn't really well received. I was sort of forced to grow up. A lot of people didn't know I was 13.
If you're too sexy online, they think that you're like a porn star. I get a lot of hate. I get a mean comment at least every single day.
I remember one so specifically that said, "You make such a beautiful man."
You're ugly, you're too skinny to eat a burger. Oh, now you're looking fat. You little Asian like skank.
The worst was legitimate death threats. That's not something any middle schooler wants to really go through. They got to the point of being so serious that FBI was involved. That was scary.
On social media, what you do is you read every single negative comment about yourself and it snakes its way into your soul. Justine Sacco, she's a PR woman from New York City. She was traveling from London to Cape Town and she thought up a little funny acerbic joke that she tweeted to her 170 Twitter followers. Going to Africa, hope I don't get AIDS. Just kidding, I'm white. And then she got on the plane, turned off her phone, fell asleep. Woke up 11 hours later to find a text that said, "I am so sorry to see what's happening to you. You are the worldwide number one trending topic on Twitter." One of her 170 followers had tweeted it to a Gawker journalist, and then like a bolt of lightning, it went around the world. And while she slept, Twitter dismantled her life. Everything from philanthropists saying, "In the light of this horrific tweet, I am donating to Aid to Africa," to trolls. Somebody HIV positive should rape this bitch and then we'll find out if her skin color protects her from AIDS. I mean, I think everybody can agree that this was not a great joke. What it wasn't was something that was intended to be a racist. She was trying to mock privilege. But What I think is more appalling is the fact that we have created a society for ourselves where we can destroy somebody for a badly worded joke. We had the opportunity to create a world of curiosity, but instead, what we decided to do was create a world of condemnation. She was fired, couldn't date. It wasn't crazy trolls who destroyed Justine. It was nice, considerate, empathetic, caring people like us. We destroyed Justine.
John Ronson, author, So You've Been Publicly Shamed. Now, lesson number 9, Know When to Power Down. A pedestrian listens to her phone through earbuds. A man and woman walk side by side, each absorbed in their own phone.
As a performer, a public persona, participating in social media, isn't that part of your job now?
I guess, but it would be cool if I didn't have to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, I mostly post pictures like of my dog because mm-hmm. that's really cute and funny and it's not invasive. And, you know, or I'll post naked pictures of myself because I think that's a really stupid thing to do. I mean, I don't think of myself as sexy in any way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. So I think the idea that I have these huge breasts that I just have no respect for is funny. Not mm-hmm. everybody finds it funny, but I do. So if I find something funny, I'll do it. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to ever be serious about it. Like, I don't want to be starting to check my comments. Like, the other day, I was, like, looking at comments, and I was like, whoa, now I'm becoming exactly like one of these people who's obsessed with social media. I can't become like that.
Okay.
I feel, like, lightheaded when I talk about it.
I scrolled through your Twitter feed this morning, and there was a lot of positive stuff on there. Can that feel
good? Yeah, that feels good.
That feels good. I mean, the occasional negative.
Like what? Like, I'm fat and ugly, just or old. Random. That's the new one. I'm old. Actually, it's not new. People have been saying I was old since I was, like, 27. Uh-huh. So,
you know, people not maybe not getting your pictures of your breasts or your bum or...
Yeah, I don't care what people think about that. That is stupid. I mean, nobody. If you don't get that, then don't look at it. I don't understand why you're following me anyway if you don't get it.
Back at Chelsea's dinner...
Don't you feel like your attention span has completely been depleted because of this? Because I don't know, maybe your attention span has always been bad.
No, they've done studies now that literally when you see that someone's texted you or tweeted or whatever, like if your phone has activity, dopamine's released in your brain. And so we're actually physically addicted to contact.
It is like an addiction, and you have to learn to stop yourself because you become like that's just your habit.
Like when you find yourself getting depressed.
Yeah, I don't like being addicted to
affecting
things.
Your day.
Right.
All of this stuff, I mean, some of it is stuff that we bring on ourselves. Some of it is just looking at all of your Twitter responses. But a lot of it is just being able to get stuff done everywhere.
It is, but then I think about this. Okay, God, I got so much done at that red light.
Of course.
Like at one red light, I got 10 things done. That's amazing. But then I think, because we're all able to do so much all the time now because of our phones, we're expected to do that much.
Right.
Meaning, as technology increases, this new level of productivity is expected and you must meet it.
My phone is always off. It's always off. Like, unless I'm waiting for somebody to call me, I turn it on. But I miss calls all the time because I used to have it
so
on.
So how do you text?
I just check it every once in a while and text back.
Mary, have you noticed when Chelsea's, like, in the mood to text you? Like, she wants it immediately. And I love the follow-up, hello! Like, 5,000 nasty
because
hellos.
Because you're on your phone
all
the
time. Oh, my God, I went to take a shit. I didn't take my phone with me. I didn't want to get anything in my phone.
I know, I do.
Clouds roll over a wooden wagon in a rustic canyon. People play catch near a pen of llamas. Now, Levi Felix, founder Digital Detox.
We're here today for a mini digital detox. So today we're gonna go through a few practices and exercises. 1A, to gain some mindfulness and awareness around our devices and how often we use them. We're gonna play some games. We're gonna explore what reconnection looks like when we put our phones aside for just a few minutes. And then we're gonna have some time to have a conversation about what does it look like when everyone is telling us that we always have to be available. If you spent more than 5 hours today on a device, raise your hand.
Almost everyone does.
Not you?
No, I got up a little late today.
Got up a little late.
But I didn't spend 5 hours on a device. I don't think I'd do that.
You don't?
Really? No. I wouldn't say 5 hours, no.
Wow. Well, it's still early.
I'm gonna excel at this!
Let's all stand up for a second off these super comfortable stumps. I want you to find someone who you've never met here before.
Hi.
And what we're gonna do here is I want you to give them a big thumbs up.
Woo!
And first, I want you to say, I like you.
I like you. I like you.
So I want you to tell the other person what you saw in them that you liked.
Kindness. Mm-hmm. Like you would do the right thing always.
Aw. I see confidence.
Confidence. Good.
You know who you are, and you put it out there.
Great.
So this kind of exercise is the thought of looking into someone else, whether you know them or don't know them, and find the commonality. And as we do that, that increases empathy and compassion for people, which then makes us be more open and more thoughtful. So we're gonna do something super awkward here. And we're gonna find someone else, and we're gonna give someone here a hug. And it's gonna feel really, really awkward. And then for the moment when it stops being awkward, you can hug just another second.
Do you want a hug?
Chelsea gives her new partner a hug.
So if you want to take a deep breath in together.
She lowers her hand toward his butt.
You go down here.
Getting frisky.
And if you want to just say thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. So who gets like a few hugs every day?
Oh,
like from someone besides the one person? Like, might have your partner, your girlfriend, your husband, or wife, or kids. Besides them, do you get some random hugs?
Some hands go up.
Like when we were kids, our teachers gave us hugs. And now it doesn't happen. And so this is us retraining our brains and our bodies and our cultures to remember what it means to be human. That when we like each other on Facebook, or we share something, or we poke, or we send an email, it's not the same, even though it feels the same. I'd like you to find another person who you haven't met yet. And person shares what they're grateful for.
Hi. You have to tell me what you're grateful for. My little niece. What's her name?
Kate.
And how old is she?
4.
Okay.
I was hanging out with her, and I was like, tell me a secret. And she just whispered in my ear, and she's like, you don't know you're beautiful. And I was just like,
oh.
Like it was just...
Okay, I was thinking about my friends Kevin and Brian, who live in London, and they just had baby twins, and I was feeling thankful that they had, because they came prematurely, and I was feeling thankful that they are healthy and that they're happy, because one of the babies was really, really weak and weighed, like, not a lot, so I was just thinking that I'm grateful that they're in my life and that they have two healthy babies, and that when I go to London soon, I'll see them, and see that I was grateful for, you know? Yeah. It's nice to think about things that you're grateful for because there's so much. There you go.
If you want to give a high five or something.
She hugs her partner.
I actually feel like I might be healthier than I thought I was. I'm always like addicted to my phone, but I definitely don't sit on a computer. I don't sit online reading articles. I always read the real newspaper. I always read the real book. So I think I'm ahead of the game.
Back at California State University, Dominguez Hills.
As far as the future goes, what's going to happen? People are just going to keep getting dumber?
No, actually, I think what we're learning is we're learning ways to help people get smarter. People are starting to learn how can you keep your focus and not get yourself distracted.
So, but the idea is that you really don't want to multitask. You want to have a singular task, right?
What you have to realize is what kind of tasks can you multitask on and on balance not do terribly
on. Like I could iron and watch TV.
Exactly.
But I'm not going to iron.
But could you watch TV and text at the same time?
You know.
Well.
Yeah, I could.
Young kids claim, all of them claim
you
they can.
You can, but you can't. I mean, but I can text with, yeah, obviously you can text without looking, right?
Right.
Can you do that?
No.
Okay, well, I can.
Not looking isn't important. It's what's going on
okay,
in your brain
right,
at the
yeah,
same time.
Okay,
you just had the front of your brain scanned.
Yeah.
It's what's
mm-hmm.
going on right up in here.
I just want to make sure that I don't want to lie to anybody that's watching this. This was the second test I did, because the first test I did, your little guy over there, the Asian guy, fucked it up. My test stopped.
The lab assistant furrows his brow.
Something didn't work.
Yeah, it didn't work.
Something
so
malfunctioned.
I just want to say, nothing works. I go to all these places. I've gone up to Silicon Valley, I have my house, I get frustrated. Most things don't work.
Doesn't work the way you expect it to work. So here's the verdict. Basically, you got about 70% right across all the tasks, which is excellent.
Is
it's
it?
A very difficult task.
That was a good grade for me in school, too, 70. That means I just fucking passed.
Well, this is better than passing. This is doing very well. You know how you were going X? I heard
mm-hmm.
you saying
yeah.
X, V, Q, X,
right.
click.
Why were you eavesdropping?
Because that's my job. What this shows, if you just look at the red, it shows how much oxygen is in your brain. The darker the color, the more activity.
What's the average test score?
70 overall is about average.
You just said it was great. So make a choice here. What is it?
You're doing quite well. When you want to pay attention, you can. Your brain is not bad. Your brain is actually working quite well.
Lesson number 10, be a disruptor. Tiles from the Gotta Go app flip into view above an image of Chelsea sitting beside the savvy girl in her coding class.
So I'm going to teach you one more thing. We're going to learn how to make our mazes look really cool.
Chelsea surreptitiously activates her app.
Light, and then add a point light. Now, if everyone just takes 1 second, I'm going to control your screens. This is just for Chelsea. Let's see who remembers how to change the color of this light.
Sorry to interrupt, but I just got a bunch of texts. The dogs are barking at my house.
Well, if you had a security camera or Skype, you could see that yourself.
Okay, yeah, but I gotta go. Oh, shoot, I wanted to finish this. All right, well, anyway, thank you
no
for all the time that
thank
you have.
You.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Nice to
Everyone
meet you.
Everyone give Chelsea a round of applause for the great work she did today.
Oh, yeah, thank you. And thanks for your help, too. Bye.
Bye. Bye, guys.
Gotta go.
She rushes out of the building. She dances excitedly.
I have an app and it works! It fucking works!
She jumps up and down.
I win! I gotta go now.
She scampers off. Chunk peeks around a corner and chases after her. In a logo, the words gotta go appear in a word bubble which cuts to black.
Who uses their phone on the toilet?
Chelsea raises her hand.
16% of phones have enough E. coli fecal on them to get someone sick.
I just want to make a point, and this isn't justifying it, but there's fecal matter everywhere.
Yeah,
on
right.
glasses at restaurants and ice cubes, so, I mean, we're all eating shit all the time.
And this is the part of the brain that we're looking at.
Your brains are so gross.
They're pretty
it's
interesting.
It's so gross to think about.
They're amazing devices. The darker, this is on your toughest
task. It looks
like
a lower intestine.
Chloe's phone glows around the edges.
So
oh
it's a light, so
God.
You don't actually have to doctor your photos.
Of course
because
not.
Guess
you're
what?
You're like
motherfucker, let me see.
Oh my
Put
God.
It back on, bitch.
So that's there,
delightful.
And then there.
What's your background? You're from Australia?
I'm from
Where?
Australia, from Melbourne.
There are a lot of Asians in Australia. I didn't realize that.
Because of our proximity to
yeah,
Asia. So
I
we're
figured
part
that
of the
out
Asia
after
Pacific.
I asked the stupid question and everybody was like, hello.
Yeah.
I mean, have you ever done any drugs?
I can't remember.
That's shady. I didn't grow up with a computer. I didn't grow up like, you know, obviously in school, but I got my AOL account. I still have AOL, by the way.
A poster falls down behind her.
Does that matter?
Yeah.
The fuck is this? See, now we have telephone booths that have free Wi-Fi. So it goes from a rotary phone to a smaller phone, smaller, and then it gets bigger.
Copyright 2016 Chelsea Handler Productions, LLC. A wavering line graphs a sound wave inside a circle, Tremolo Productions. Lines expand to frame the words, a Chelsea...
Up next, Chelsea does racism. Chelsea probes America's racial tensions by visiting a former plantation, meeting Al Sharpton, and facing critics who condemn her use of stereotypes.